Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Barbara Salzman. I'm representing the Marin Audubon Society. And I'm sorry, I would have gotten a letter to you earlier, but I had a problem with my printer, so I couldn't print it all out until today. I would like to add one other conflict with the city's general plan to the list created by Shoup, Mahaley, and Weinberger. And that is a conflict with General Plan Policy CON5, which calls for protecting baylands. And we found it quite notable that there really is no mention in the entire document of this site being baylands, except in the soils report, it talks about the soil type being bay mud. And we think this is a major omission that needs to be rectified in an environmental impact report. I think the record will show, certainly in our letter, which is quite long, as well as other comments this evening, that there are many deficiencies in this purported mitigated negative declaration. So it's our recommendation that if you don't deny the project because of its inconsistencies with the general plan, which we think you should do, then at least you need to require an environmental impact report. And I'm going to focus my comments tonight on the inadequacies in the addressing of the endangered species issues. The consultant has characterized the site as being, well, various things: low quality wetlands, not prime habitat for clapper rails. Tonight, I guess it was called not the main habitat for clapper rails. We've submitted a biological report by Jules Evans from Avocet Research Associates. Jules Evans is a noted clapper rail expert. He's been surveying them for 20 years. He's hired by many agencies. He's not hired by applicants. He's not hired by developers. So you can be assured that he's not tainted by the interests of his employers. So in this document, which you may have, he does refute some of the statements that are made in the biological assessments. One is the statement that WRA concluded that the creek and wetland areas on both sides of the creeks to the north and south of the airport site do not contain prime habitat for the clapper rail or harvest mice. He refutes that by noting that the emergent tidal vegetation along both banks function as critical corridors between prime habitat both upstream and downstream. This is, and then also that the rails are present in the habitat and therefore the habitat is appropriate. Prime is a false modifier. There is no such thing as prime habitat. They need all the kinds of habitats that are there. They need habitat to nest in. They need to be able to move. They need corridors for movement. They need places to move additional habitats to move to when they produce young. So there is no such thing as this notion of a prime or a main habitat. Another issue was the fact that the applicant's biological contractor surveyed the site on one occasion, and the Fish and Wildlife Service protocols require 3 to 4 site visits. So just because you don't see one of a very secretive bird on one visit doesn't mean they're not there. Another point is the clapper rails, this is Fish and Wildlife Service's recovery plan for clapper rails. In that plan, they identify the different components of habitats. One of them is adjacent uplands. They need adjacent uplands to go to when there's a high tide in order to avoid being caught by raptors. That is not recognized at all in the environmental document. It's like maybe they're out there, but it's not important habitat. But the fact that some of the uplands on the site is in fact refuge habitat, it's called, is not noted at all. I'd like to read one component. I also submitted some documents from this document. two maps from the Baylands Ecosystem Habitat Goals Report. This is a report on recommending different kinds of habitats for wildlife survival around the bay. And they make a specific recommendation about Galena's Creek. And it is to restore a wide contiguous band of tidal marsh along the bayfront between Black Point and Galena's Creek and along Galena's Creek. Ensure a natural transition to uplands throughout and provide an upland buffer outside the Baylands boundary. And you'll see in the maps that I provided, although they're very tiny, but nevertheless, they do talk about, they show that the site is Baylands. Now, I wanted to make one other point about the natural resources and the future of our children. I too had a child who played soccer a lot, and he managed to find fields around the county. But we have to also consider that an important part of the future of our race, of our children, is the fact that we need to protect our natural resources. Just having athletic fields, that's fine, but that's one component of our lives. If we destroy the very basis of our existence, of life on Earth, namely marshes and other species that we share this earth with, I don't think we're leaving much of a legacy for our children. So I think that's one thing you need to, an important thing you need to consider with this project.
Thank you. And next in the hot seat, Alice Gleckman.
Good evening. My name is Keith Melanie, and I'm currently serving as president of Contempo Marin Homeowners Association. During the latter part of the year 2000, plans were being drawn up for renovation of the airport property. These plans were approved by the City of San Rafael, and some years have passed since its completion of that development. Having engaged with numerous residents of the Contempo community on this new project, it has become apparent that the following concerns need mentioning. This developer tends to have established a bad reputation in the eyes of many of our residents. This stems partly from a failure to follow through on numerous promises made in the past. The two sections of Contempo most vulnerable to the airport property are along Bryce Canyon and Yellowstone Road. A concrete wall was constructed separating the houses on Yellowstone Road from the roadway that leads into the airport property. This concrete wall has been referred to as a sound wall. There are holes in the base of the wall that allow the sound of vehicle traffic to be transmitted through the wall, which defeat its entire purpose. The developer has acknowledged the problem and yet has made no effort to fix the wall. The residents along this section of the park were also told that the vehicle traffic resulting from the commercial tenants on the property, consisting of large heavy vehicles which pass within 20 feet of these houses, would be limited to certain hours. The developer did nothing to enforce this rule, and the residents had to make complaints to the city to get the developer to follow through with their promise. One of the mobile homes actually tore at the seams as a result of the passing of these heavy vehicles in such close proximity. Residents that live along Bryce Canyon Road used to have the benefit of a beautiful morning sunrise, having a clear view of the horizon. After the large two-story hangar was constructed, this view was lost forever. The residents were promised that although their sunrises were replaced with a large metal structure, that there would soon be screening planted to soften that view. To date, no screening exists, and it's been years since that promise was made. Brent Dickens went on record at the first design review that this developer has failed to maintain his own property and should work towards mending relationships with the neighborhoods, in part by remedying their failed promises and also by improving on their current standard of maintenance. Having said all these things, and since the Homeowners Association is charged with the responsibility of seeing to the best interests of the residents of Contempo, I'd like to go on record amplifying a demand that past promises be met and that some mechanism of oversight be put in place so that if this project moves forward, any new conditions of approval will be enforced by the city.
Thank you very much. Alice Rothman, you're on, and next will be Catherine Munson.
Good evening, Commissioners. I'm Dr. Alice Gleghorn Rothland, and I'm here wearing two hats tonight. The first is as a board member of the Marin Women's Soccer League, and the second is as a professional public health researcher for the past 18 years. In that role, I have studied factors affecting the quality of life, health, and well-being of the communities. And I'm here to verify some things that you probably already expect, and that is that research documents the well-established physical, social, and quality of life benefits of park and recreational facilities such as that is proposed here tonight. What neighbors might not be aware of are the economic benefits to the community of such facilities. Research shows that homes located in close proximity to facilities such as the proposed sports complex have higher property values than homes without such amenities. Now, I personally wouldn't have gone out and bought a home next to an airport, but next to a world-class sports facility, I would think again. Not only would this directly benefit the property values of the community, it could also directly benefit the health and well-being of the immediate neighbors and the broader community. The variety of recreational rooms for physical activities and meeting spaces proposed allow for a full range of activities responsive to the needs of the community. Not only the high exertion activities that most people are here to speak of in favor of tonight, but also low impact activities. Why not yoga? Why not services for people with low mobility issues and disabilities? Why not seniors programming and club meetings? All of these things would be possible if the neighbors were working with the group who's proposing this facility. They should be working closely so that they have the needs of their community met, as well as asking for a neighbor's discount. You will hear from others tonight about the benefits for youth of this facility. I would like to emphasize this facility will also meet the needs of the many adult and older adult leagues that already exist in our community. The Marin Women's Soccer League has voted to support this facility, and it represents more than 250 women, 19 and older, who live, work, and play soccer in Marin. We currently play spring and summer leagues at the McGinnis Fields near the proposed facilities. We are respectful and responsible users of the fields, and despite the comments I heard here tonight, we would comply readily with a proposed code of conduct. Neighbors have complained about the hours of operation, wondering why a facility targeting youth would be open after a normal child's bedtime. The answer is simple. Some of us don't get to play until after the kids are tucked in for the night. The proposed project has admirably attended to the aesthetic and environmental concerns of the community. I have seen many such facilities throughout the state of California as the mother of a competitive player, and this is by far the most responsive and aesthetic that I have seen. Communities that support active lifestyles, and I say this as a researcher, are healthier than those that do not. It is important for the health and well-being of the broader and specific local communities that you support this proposed sports facility, as it will provide direct benefits to the physical, social, economic health of the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Munson's on, and next will be Marcus Wick.
Thank you, and good evening. I'm here